Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Cellini, Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Get it together, Devaney.
12 o'clock hour.
We got questions.
Brought to you by Wade Ford at Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. You'll discover great prices, flexible finance options, our top trade-in values, and even mobile service. The draft, a little more than 24 hours away, and Billy Devaney, front of the show, longtime NFL GM, front office member, including a lot of work here with the Falcons, kind enough to be in studio with us for the next hour. And as you said, Domino, the grilling season has begun for you when it comes to Billy Devaney.
We might need a little bit more than an hour. I just want to, I know your time frame. Good morning, by the way. Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Thank
good
you
morning.
For coming in. So we trust you because not only have you told some of the best draft day stories, post-draft day stories, and a whole bunch of things in between, there's an honesty that comes with you that I don't think you can help yourself. And that's always welcome in here. That's always welcome in here. It's the New Jersey in you,
yeah.
The Northeast.
Yeah.
So here's, I just want to do the timeline on the selection of Matt. You're already gone when they take Matt in 08, Ryan.
Yes.
But you, what was the idea of the quarterback situation? Because you would have known what the mindset had to be going into 08, because you left in 07.
Oh, no, I left
at the end of.
I think, but I left in March. So okay. The draft was, what, a month after that? So I was heavily involved.
Okay.
And
did you go to dinner with Matt Ryan? Were you part of a crew that...
No.
You keep hearing about this famous dinner.
Yeah, no.
Where he did so well.
I did not.
Okay.
But I want to say, like, maybe 3 hours before the draft, Arthur calls me in St. Louis and basically says, listen... Everything that we're hearing is you guys, and we were picking second, I think. You guys are all set to take, what's his name? Chris Long. I said, yeah, there's no secrets. He goes, okay. And Arthur was right. He said, let me ask you something. We spent a lot of time looking at Matt Ryan. Do you still feel the same way about Matt Ryan today as you did when you're here? I said, absolutely. He said, okay, because, you know, we got a big decision to make. And I think at that time, the guy that they were kind of interested was the...
Glenn Dorsey?
Yeah, with the rod in his leg, a nose tackle. And I think it was wasn't it Thomas's first draft?
Yeah, it was.
So he's coming from New England, obviously, and a obvious big centerpiece around their defense.
And Mike Vick is gone.
It's a nose tackle.
And we got the Mike Vick situation.
And just coming off of that.
And baloney face.
Bobby Petrino. So I said to Arthur, Arthur, come on. You got to take Matt Ryan. You're talking about taking a nose tackle with the rod in his leg with the third pick? That's not happening.
So let me ask
you're taking Matt Ryan.
Why didn't you okey-doke him a little bit to make him pay a price to move up?
I would never do that to my man. I'd think too much of him.
Interesting.
It's bad karma, too, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Absolutely would never do that to him. I way too much respect.
You know who was being picked number one? Because it was the other Long, wasn't it?
Jake Long,
yeah,
right?
Jake Long, yeah. the tackle.
Did you know that he was getting picked one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we had already told Chris Long's agent the day before we were taking him. I mean, it was there wasn't any shenanigans going on. You know, we knew all along, and I shared that with Arthur.
Which leads us into Matt Ryan formally retiring earlier this week. Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Yes. Yeah. Is he one of the best quarterbacks that play the game? I happen to think he is. Is he the top echelon, the Marinos, Elway? I wouldn't say that. But I went back and looked at, because I, you know, this is going to come up, and I looked at the quarterbacks that are in the Hall of Fame, and I know that's not the measuring stick, but and these guys are worthy. I'll just throw a name out: Bob Greasy. If Bob Greasy's in the Hall of Fame, and that's not a knock on
Greasy. No,
you're preaching to the choir. And we've talked about that for years.
No, listen. If you're saying Warren Moon or Matt Ryan, I mean, there's a case. I me personally, I take Matt Ryan. But Warren Moon should be in the Hall of Fame. That's not knocking him. It's my point. If Moon's in the Hall of Fame, if Greasy's on, Matt Ryan certainly deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
And that's what sometimes the bar isn't what originally they thought the building was going to be. But the minute you let somebody in, all I have to do in theory, it's not right, but all I have to do is prove I'm at least as good as that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that means that you are a Hall of Famer at that point.
Now, it may have come across a little bit self-serving when it comes to guys like Deion Sanders, but his point is kind of well taken. And I'm not saying they should do this, but what was his comment? That there should be an upper floor, a top level of the
different
Hall of Fame?
Wings of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, now I wouldn't levels. Do that. I know where he's coming from. There's different level of Hall of Famers, but
so do you think first ballot guys should maybe be in the center room?
Because no, I wouldn't. You know, because there's so much you know, time, the rule changes and all that. I just make it a Hall of Fame. I understand what he's saying, and there are different levels of ability, of Hall of Fame ability. I wouldn't differentiate.
Do you know what they call the person who graduates last at medical school?
Doctor.
Yeah. So that's what the Hall of Fame has become. It doesn't matter if you're a 76% guy, 98% guy. You literally live. Your plaque lives in the same place.
You got a gold jacket, man. Yeah. And it's not a different color gold. It's not lighter, darker at all. You got a gold jacket.
Billy Devaney is here with us. So a little more than 24 hours before the first round, for the most part, how buttoned up are franchises right now?
Oh, totally. Totally. I mean, it's done. In fact, I would assume that it still operates the same way. The scouts and the personnel people are given the day off today. I mean, it's done. And the next 4 or 5 days is going to be, I mean, it's going to be intense. It's going to be busy. There's no time off. So the rule of thumb is let you guys go out, play golf, go out on the lake. I know a lot of people. Now, a guy, the general managers, Terry, may come into the office for a couple hours just to check on things, but he needs to get out of the office and clear his head from noontime on tonight. There's nothing going on. And, because, like I said, all hell is about to break loose tomorrow. For the draft, and then you got the next couple of days with free agency to deal with.
So let's just deal with the actual number, 8. That's where the Falcons draft. Do you have anything conditionally in place if the first 7 go this way? I know that I'm calling Jim, and I know that I'm calling Bob, or they're calling me, and I've got to figure out, especially in a quarterback draft, what it is I will take, because you have a limited amount of time. Are those parameters in place?
Oh, and there are multiple scenarios that teams have gone over in every possible scenario. So now, that being said, I guarantee, I don't know if it'll be in the top 8, but in the top part of the first round, somebody's going to make a pick, and teams are going to go, holy crap, I didn't see that one coming.
Sideways.
There's going to be a shocker.
There always is, right?
Always is. There's going to be a shocker, but you just got to be ready to pivot. And they've done, teams are prepared. That's why it's interesting. It's almost like when people look into the draft room, and it is not crazy, especially when you're on the clock. You know, maybe in the old days, there was, it was different back then. But everything is so.
If there's
hardly any secrets anymore.
Okay, but if there's movement, a lot of like what looks panicky in that room, you've got the wrong group doing.
Oh, no doubt.
Your draft.
Oh, there can't be any panic. don't panic no matter what. Go into another room if you're getting Nancy, jittery. You don't want to come.
Terry Fontenot was throwing up as he sits there and awaits the Falcons' 8th overall pick.
I see somebody in the corner crying. Oh God, not
well. Let me tell you something. That's a good point. Now, there's sometimes teams will gamble, and I kind of halfway heard you talking about, I don't know if there's you have 5 names that you would really like, and if there's 3 names that you'd be happy with, and you can move back 4 places, you're holding on to you know what, and you can say I feel pretty good that one of those guys are going to be there, but there's also you got to come to the realization. There's a chance that they're not all 3 are going to be gone. That could happen. Are we good with that? And there's times when something like that scenario unfolds, and you lose all those 3 players, and you could see draft room. It's like, oh my God. I mean, it's almost like, come on, guys, we still got a draft to go.
How
we got to recover.
Don't
be down now. We got to recover.
Do you think every draft in the first round, to me, that's the equivalent of getting caught with your pants down.
Right.
Do you think every draft year, in the first round, somebody's gotten caught with their pants down? Or is that too much?
That might be a little bit too much. I mean, teams are going to be shocked as we are. You know, they'll be surprised. But I don't think that. I don't think teams are devastated anymore. I mean, that I don't think happens. Again, maybe in the old days when there's so much information out there now. You know, the draft Knicks, the Mel Kipers, they Adam Schefter, they do such a good job projecting.
We're going to get to them.
Okay, I used to be. We'll get to them. Right, they're okay.
We'll get to them.
Okay, but anyway, there's not that many super surprises anymore like it used to be.
What do you think about Kirk Cousins with the Falcons?
Oh my God, I text some people. Welcome back to the NFL. I am beyond thrilled. Absolutely. You know, they've been trying to get by the last couple of years with guys. I mean, at the most important position on the football field. I mean, you're going into games with, you know, two strikes against you before you even hit the field. So I am absolutely
thrilled.
Hold
on, when you say two strikes, are you talking about a quarterback and something on the sideline? Or
No, just at the quarterback position.
Okay. Two strikes against
Terry,
you. Yeah.
Terry Fano yesterday called Kirk Cousins a multiplier. He's going to bring guys in multiples with him. He is going to be a leader. And those other two guys, not to say anything disparaging, but I guess I am, I don't think they were true leaders.
No. And you know what? They were put in a tough position. There's no doubt. And we can get into that, too. The quarterback position, man, so much depends on not necessarily the draft slot that you go, but the organization you go and what the plan is for you. Guys have been crushed right out of the gate that really didn't have a chance. They were set up for failure. And I don't know if these two, you know, with the Falcon guys, if they're ever going to resurrect their career, if they're going to be great players. But I know it wasn't a great setup for them either. It was just a bad setup for everyone for the last couple of years.
We're going to go back to a conversation you and I had about bundle. I got to look at the totality of it. It's going to be Kirk Cousins. Money spent there because I couldn't buy a free agent edge guy. But do I get one? Do I get a corner? We'll talk about that in a second. What's the premium, though, if you're sitting seventh or eighth? Three quarterbacks have been taken. What is that draft pick? What's the value? How does it go up when you know somebody wants to get to your spot because they want the quarterback? What are you allowed to ask for more?
Yeah, that's when, especially this draft, it sounds like there's going to be three quarterbacks come off the board, 1, 2, 3, right? Where it gets really sketchy now is at 4, and Arizona's on the clock. So if you're Minnesota, if you're the one of these other teams, or
Denver wants to move up at least.
You're looking to get a quarterback. It sounds like there's only one more quarterback at that level. You're sitting pretty at that point. And Arizona's looking to move back. Right behind them, the Chargers, they're looking to move back. So that's a perfect scenario for Arizona at 4. Three quarterbacks go, 1, 2, 3. Now, absolutely, you're jacking that price up.
And you're sitting pretty because, worst case scenario, we're just going to take Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're in a win-win situation.
You are absolutely in a win-win.
And if you drop back to 6, there's still a chance you get Marvin Harrison.
Or like if you drop another great, and one of those two other receivers aren't chopped living.
The three guys you can live with. Yeah. You know if you only drop back 2 spots, you're getting one of them.
Absolutely.
That's the math of the whole thing. Right. So the premium does. It is what we think it is.
No question.
For the quarterbacks.
Yes.
Okay.
And remember, there is no honor among thieves. You might have some really good friends. Arizona's looking to trade back, and Minnesota wants. He may be great friends with the head coach. Maybe screw that, man. We're going to stick it to you. We're going to get everything we can.
Talk about what you said about, was it Graziano the other day?
Yeah, he talked about the fact that he was on Mike Greenberg's show, Dan Graziano at ESPN, who does a good job, but I think he had a misstep here. He talked about the Jets wanting perhaps to move up to number 8 if Joe Alt was still available, but they don't have a second-round pick. Dan Graziano said, I think the Falcons, they would still get their guy at 10, so they would take next to nothing to drop back to 10. I said, in what world are you living in? Why would they do that? Why would any NFL team do that?
Why? Well, it seems like, again, there's going to be surprises, but it sounds like the first 7 picks have a good chance of being offensive players, quarterbacks, receivers. So you're sitting there at 8, and you can take whoever their decision, the best defensive player in the draft, whoever they decided, a corner, the defensive end. Why are you going to do that?
Well, Billy, he was saying that, since you're going to get your guy at 10, what's the big deal? They can't give you that second-round pick you might have wanted.
I'll call in that favor somewhere down
that's
the line.
That's what he said.
You're telling Woody Johnson. No, that's not how the NFL works. You know that.
No way. That's not happening. And again, this is where organizations have to be aligned going into this draft. The Jets are in a situation. You think that coach and that coaching staff gives a rats about draft picks next year, extra draft pick? those guys have to win. They got to win.
Because they're going to be a victim of a massive reset if they don't
win this
year.
They'll be sitting here the day before the draft with you guys talking about, why did we make that dumbass trade?
Yeah. Well,
How did I get here?
They'll be in a situation they went to L.A. Fitness before they came here like you did, and then you ended up here because that's what their day is going to consist of.
That makes no sense.
All right, Billy Devaney is here with us. Was Bill Belichick telling the truth to the media when it comes to draft choices and agents last week? We'll talk to Billy about that and more here in studio with us through the 12 o'clock hour. It's Chiellini and Domino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The 0-1 pitch on the way to De La Cruz. Ground ball out to short, taken by Arcia. He slings it to first. What a performance. Max Fried goes the distance. It's a shutout in Atlanta as the Braves take the game 5-0 on the shoulders of their brilliant lefty, Max Fried.
425, Chiellini, Domino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Ben Ingram with the call last night. Braves going for the sweep tonight against the Marlins at 720. The Ford leadoff show at 605. The third Maddux in the career of Max Fried. Complete game, less than 100 pitches. Maddux had 11 of his 13 here with the Braves. Tom Glavine has 5 overall. So Max Fried now third on that list. Those are your WellStar Well Stats of the day. At WellStar, our patients are the center of everything we do. We're nationally ranked and locally recognized for our high-quality care, inclusive culture, and exceptional doctors and caregivers. One of the largest and most integrated healthcare systems in Georgia. Visit WellStar.org today. WellStar, more than healthcare, people care. Billy Devaney, longtime NFL GM, a lot of work with the Falcons here in studio with us. He also did some work with Nebraska. I want to ask him about the ever-changing landscape around college football as well. We'll do that later on this segment.
Yeah, we got a lot. I just want to say this. I don't want to play down. I don't want to have a down the hall moment.
Say it.
I certainly don't want to be told to go down the hall.
Say what you want to say.
Here's the problem with America. This Maddux thing, it's less than 90 pitches.
It used to be. Now it's not.
When did we all of a sudden make it less than 100 pitches?
So you're saying America's getting soft.
I believe
we need to build
a
wall.
That's down the hall.
I believe we have
to the left. That's Extra 106.3, Atlanta's only conservative, not sports talk, but news talk station.
We're gaining.
We're just sports talk in general.
Yeah,
we're too stupid to be political.
We're getting so soft we have butt fronts. Like that whole idea you just have something hanging over your belt.
Yeah.
It's less than 90 pitches. You can keep it, do whatever you want. Oh, Max Fried, hey. It was a great night. Just wasn't a Maddux.
Whatever. Well, I guess things changed. The 12 o'clock hour brought to you by the fine folks over at Wade Ford. Nothing has changed there. The best Ford dealer right around the corner, seemingly, from Truist Park, less than 5 miles away here in Smyrna. Like we said, Billy Devaney is here in studio with us. So Bill Belichick was on the Pat McAfee show, I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, and he said he's never told an agent where one of their players was going to be drafted. He said all of this stuff is being leaked by the agents. I would imagine that's protocol around the NFL. You're not telling agents or you're not telling players that you're going to draft them, are you?
No, absolutely not. Now, let me backtrack a little bit. There were times where a scout probably overstepped his boundaries at the end of it, because there's area scouts have been tracking these guys for a couple of years. They build up a relationship, and a scout may say, hey, listen, I know this. Our team loves you, and I know this. If you're still there in the fourth round, I know we'll think about taking you. They should never say that. But does it happen? Occasionally it does. But Belichick is right. It's all self-serving by an agent putting that out there. It doesn't do anything but piss a player off when it doesn't happen. And even if somebody, like even that scout that says that, they may have the best intentions, and they may be right. If the guy is there at the top of the fourth round, well, you know this, by the time the fourth, there's so many surprises. It's like, Well, we were going to take you, but we never expected Joe Smith to be there.
That guy's better than you.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you expect us to take you?
So it's really, it's an the agent, a sales job to the players. Like, this is what, you know, you, when at the beginning of this process, you were probably figured out, you know, late fifth, middle of the fifth. And the teams that I've talked to now, I've talked to these three teams, and they're going to take, they said they'd take you to the bottom of the fourth. It's really the agent pumping himself up to the player.
Bad play, though. I don't even know if I'd let a guy go to the green room these days. There's going to be like 13 guys there. I don't know if I believe in that. Give me something about the dots. Do not draft medical. Do not draft character. Are those real dots up on the board where you almost have to remind yourself?
Oh,
do not draft medical.
Yeah,
well, do not draft character.
Not even dots. There's a, no, in the draft room, there's a board, a wall by position. And then there's another board, the front, the big board by rounds, how you would draft it. Then there's a free agency board. And then there's a column of do not draft. And there's a column for character.
And medical.
And fit, when we say fit, medical. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. And that's, again, that's all, that's been determined by now.
Have you seen guys choke and just say, he's too good, we're taking him?
No,
or is
no,
that
that's
board
all,
definitive?
That's... It's all been talked about so much to get, you know, to this point. Now, if you say we're not going to, oh, I shouldn't say that because we screwed it up in at the Chargers in San Diego, and it was a major, major mistake. And it wasn't a choke job. It was just a panic. We drafted Ryan Leaf. We had a do not draft and a big red cross on this guy, Michael Ricks from Stephen F. Austin. And he was a talented, really talented kid, big, big guy. And so he doesn't. He makes it out of the first round, and all of a sudden, Bobby goes, "Gosh, we got to get Leaf some weapons." Well, yeah, duh, no kidding. I can't believe Ricks is still there. Yeah, but Bobby, he's got Rick. We already flunked him on the physical. Yeah, but you know what? Call Keoki. Keoki's our trainer. I try to find. And this is the way things are done in San Diego. I try to tell Keoki to come up here. Keoki's not here. For me, he's not here. In a second, well, Bobby told him it was okay to, he's the coach of his son's Little League team, and said it was okay to go.
Oh my God.
I said, no, come on. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you don't have cell phones back
well,
then.
Well, you know what? Ironically, we did, but it was like those big walkie-talk.
Gotcha.
It was the military. It was the military.
Yeah,
then.
I got him. He's coaching. I said, okay. Why, we're thinking about taking Michael Rick. Why? I said, well, Bobby's making it. Well, if Bobby likes him, maybe we can match. No. We talked about this already. I'm thinking, I'm talking to our trainer at a little, he's on third coach and third base. And we're talking, we did. We traded. So I go down to Kevin Gilbride as the coach. I go down to Gilbride's office and said, dude, you got to come up and help me. We're thinking about trading a first round pick from Michael Rick. And he started laughing. He goes, we can't. We already used it for a Leaf. I said, oh, no. We got one 2 years from now where we're talking about burning. He goes, I give up, which we did. We gave up to Tampa. We traded a first-round pick 2 years down the road for Michael Ricks, who was a total bust because of injuries. Huh, imagine that.
Well, this goes back to this defensive end out of UCLA, Latu, who had to retire from football because he had surgery on his neck, and he's back, and he had an outstanding 2 years. I'm sorry. I'm not drafting a guy like
dude,
that. I can't do it.
And this where, again, sometimes... There's a difference, obviously, with the medical people, the way some doctors will interpret things. Guys, some doctors are more conservative. Others like, man, it's football. But in a case like that, you have a decision to make. Okay, this kid, the doctor may say, he's past his physical. He can come in and play, but I don't think he's going to last more than 3 years. So then now you got to decide, okay, do we take a little lesser player that's clean medically, where you take a guy that may be an impact guy for a couple of years.
But you know what the problem is? Have you seen the numbers that just came out about how many guys are getting to their second contract with their original teams? The number is so ridiculously low now. It's under 50% in most cases where you just go, am I getting 4 years out of the guy? I'll take 4 years out of the guy because I don't think you guys can afford, not in the job that you're in, you better win now.
Oh, bro.
Nobody has 8 years.
Yeah.
If you're asking me, well, do I have a 10-year player? I don't know. Do you have a 10-year career?
Right.
Because there's a good chance you don't in that same place.
But, Nick, to your point, 1,000% I agree. We're not talking about a shoulder or a knee. When you start talking about neck and backs, time out. You know, that's a whole, especially a neck. That's a whole different
We're
level.
Not talking about
a
sprained neck. We're talking about neck fusion surgery.
I'm with you.
Well, what is it we know? One leads to...
Another, like back surgery. Yeah. You don't have just one.
Yeah, there's always a second.
Are there exceptions? We had, know who we had to do not draft in because of medical? Gronk coming out of Arizona. Major back issue. Major back. And I think he went the fifth round, if I'm not mistaken.
Definitely a first-round talent, but because of the back, he dropped.
Credit to the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Case in point. They got to the point they're in the fifth round. Like, we have the same concerns as everybody else.
Fifth-rounder.
But the fifth-rounder, is it worth to roll the dice and take a chance? And it came out, turned out great, great for him.
Billy Devaney is here in studio. Willis, we'll continue to talk about the business of football after this business deal that we have every week.
It's time for the Business of Sports Minute, presented by Southern Company. Southern Company is building the future of energy for the customers and communities they are privileged to serve.
Carlene Craig is with us, the owner of the Atlanta Vibe Pro Volleyball team, and they have the best record in the league in year number one. And Carlene, thanks for coming on and appreciate the time and congratulations on the early success.
Oh, thank you. We are super excited.
Well, talk about, first of all, how Atlanta worked out and why this team is as good as they are.
Well, we all know it. It's a team effort. It started last year when we engaged the community and we put out a call to name the team. They came up with a vibe, and it went from there to an amazing coach that we've hired and coaching staff to the back office staff and that runs it, and now the athletes on the court. So we're sitting top of the leaderboard and officially clinched the first-place spot going into the playoff season. So it's been a culmination of the micro decisions across the board, as I know we all always talk about.
In the last 5 years or so, how big a pool have we actually now accumulated for young women who are playing the game, going to college to play it, which now means the pro game gets the bump?
Oh, it's fantastic. What most people don't understand is that volleyball is actually a much bigger sport than people know. So we're actually the largest sport for female athletes in high schools and colleges in the United States. It's the top team sport in 32 of the states, not top one or two in 44. The Southeast is actually the fourth largest region in the country. And it's one of, depending on your source of, that you cite, one of the fifth or sixth largest sport in internationally. So the pool is tremendous. It is a sport that's growing year over year, as I mentioned. And so that's led to college scholarships. And what happens now is folks have to leave after college. I played in college. And then you either go overseas or you're hanging up. And now they don't have to. So now they can earn a living wage here in the United States in front of their family and friends.
And you clinch the postseason. Like we said, it's going to be a neutral site deal. But you have two more chances to come to Gas South Arena, right, to see the team before the playoffs start?
Absolutely. We would love to see everybody out there. We play this Sunday, April 28th at 2 at Gas South Arena. And then on Thursday, May 2nd at 7 p.m. This Sunday's is actually aired on CBS Sports. So we're excited about that national broadcast. That's our last two home matches. And then playoffs are in Omaha.
We have a special guest in the studio now who was a former general manager in the NFL who just told us both. Where are you going on Sunday?
2 o'clock Sunday. I'll be at the game. The
Billy Devaney is here with us, and he'll be in attendance. So.
Absolutely.
That's right. We would love to have, we have some Olympians out there. So we have some other celebrities out there that are involved. And I think that's really some of what's changed. We've seen the Caitlin Clark effect for the WNBA. So we're excited to have this platform, to show. So when women's sports are given the platform, they're performing. And that's what really is exciting. It's a great opportunity to invest in the women's sport movement. And it's done through partnerships like this. The Atlanta sports scene has been fantastic across the board. There hasn't been one team, Braves, Falcons, United, et cetera, that haven't been welcoming to us. And so we're very appreciative of the larger community.
I had a chance when I was at Nebraska for a couple of years. Their girls volleyball team, I mean, is off the charts, right? And it was phenomenal. What a great experience, great athletes. I had a blast. So I've been hell-bent on getting out to see a game, and it'll be, unfortunately, the football team sucked, and the people they weren't real happy with us, but they loved their girls volleyball in Nebraska.
And the TV numbers are great for Nebraska.
And they certainly are. And that's what we hope on Sunday, right? We can show Atlanta and Gwinnett shows up and shows out for that match. So Omaha is actually ranked number 2 behind us. But Nebraska Cornhuskers are their avid volleyball fans. And so as you well know, they set the world record for attendance for a female sport in the world, any sport in the world. It was previously a FIFA World Cup soccer event, and now it has held by Nebraska volleyball last August. 92,000 people filled the football stadium.
Yeah, it was
so
awesome.
We'll take over the football stadium, and we want to do it you know, here. It may take us a little bit longer in Atlanta, but we're going to get there.
Well, two more games at home this Sunday. Billy Devaney, you'll be there at 2 o'clock. May the 2nd at 7 o'clock, Gas South Arena. ProVolleyball.com is where you need to go to get tickets. Colleen Craig, thank you for coming on. Best of luck as you chase the championship.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate your time.
The Business of Sports Minute, presented by our friends at Southern Company. You can check out all our interviews at 680thefan.com, thepodcastpark.com, or on the 680 The Fan app.
It is crazy. Look at the numbers when Nebraska volleyball is playing on ESPN, ESPN2, CBS Sports, and 92,000 pack the football stadium. And volleyball is growing here, and you're going to be there, Billy. So I guess timing is everything. Perfect timing having you in studio.
There you go.
Well, you said it. Football was, what did you say? It sucked.
Yeah.
So you guys caught crap for that. The women's volleyball team was not going to raise the whole boat of Nebraska athletics up.
No.
Okay. It was a feel good. Hey, I want to know, what is the definition of getting screwed by another general manager or a team? In other words, we had a deal. You're telling me we didn't have a deal. How often would you use the word? And then do you go back to that guy as well, or do you stay away from somebody like that? Does it happen, first of all?
Well, if you let it happen, it's on you.
Okay.
I would say.
So if the verbiage isn't totally laid out,
right,
it's eventually on you.
Right.
Okay.
There was an attempt. And I liked the guy, and he was doing what he felt was right for his team. But when we selected Jason Smith, we had the second pick, and I think it was the 2010 draft or 2011 draft. I forget which it was. But it wasn't a very good draft. And we're looking to trade out. Everybody was looking to move out from the top of the first round. We were terrible. We're looking for extra picks. We want to move out of there desperately. So Mike Tannenbaum, they're looking to move up. They're looking to take a quarterback. Mike calls me up a couple hours before the draft and says, "You guys still looking to move down?" And I'm like, "Oh God, thank you, Lord." "Yes, yes." I said, "Yeah, yeah." And I'm trying to be cool about it. "Yeah, yeah, we'll think about it." Like, "Oh God, come on." He said, "Okay, you know, we need to move up. You know what we're trying to do?" And I said, "Yeah." And I think they were, at that time, they may have been around 14, somewhere in there. And I said, "Okay, well, just give me a ball. What are we talking about?" He said, "We'll give you a fifth round pick." There was silence. I said, "Okay." He goes, "Fifth round pick." I said, "Mike, what are you talking about?" He said, "Billy, here's the deal. Everybody knows your team is for sale. We're going to save your owner right now, who's going to sell a team in a couple of months, millions and millions of dollars to move down. That's all we're doing." And I said, "Oh, okay. So I'm supposed to go down, make this trade, go down, tell the media, okay, we trade it down. We got a fifth round pick." I said, "Mike, I'll tell you what, why don't you go, you know, to yourself and," but I said, "You know what? It's not my money. Let me call our owner, Chip Rosenblum, who was George's son, and his daughter owned the team at the time. They're in the process of selling it to Kroenke. Said, it's not my money. Let me run it by Chip." So I called Chip. I said, "Here's the deal, Chip. This is what the Jets just called about." And he said, "Well, I hope you told him to go to hell." And I said, "Well, it may have been a little bit stronger than that." And he said, "Good." He said, "Absolutely not."
Okay.
So that was a ploy by Mike to try to take advantage of the team being for sale at that time, which was kind of a crappy thing to do. Mike's a good guy. I mean,
it's not personal. It's just business, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we were fine afterwards. And I said, he said, "Man, you were pretty ticked off." I said, "Of course. What would you do in my," first of all, I was crushed that we're going to be stuck there.
Right.
I thought we had something going like that gum. And then for our fifth round pick. So I thought that was a little bit cheesy.
Do you have a bad guy list? General manager list where you go, "Not that guy. I don't know him. I don't
know." No, because you know what? Even if you know, you don't like everybody, and you know, you have friends, there's people that you don't like, but at the end of the day, you're going to deal with, if you think it's a chance to help your organization and do what's best for the team, that overrides everything. You the guy may be the biggest douche
but
out
I've
there.
Had general, but I've had general managers say, once you realize that this guy doesn't really want to dance, he's just making
a
phone
call. There's guy. It's like, don't waste your time picking up the phone calling.
Okay.
They'll BS you and say, "Oh, yeah, let me think about it and I'll get back to you." No, there are those kind of guys. That all they are is talk.
There's nothing worse than a 30-minute conversation that goes no place.
It goes nowhere.
Nothing.
No, absolutely, there are those types.
Billy Devaney is here with us. We brought up Nebraska, the landscape, after you worked as the GM, essentially, for Nebraska football. What do you think about the changing landscape now?
Oh, gosh.
How could that have helped or hurt you back then?
Well, it wouldn't have done either to me because I would have been gone. I was barely been able to deal with the recruiting aspect back then. And there wasn't any NIL and it wasn't transfer portal. And I was struggling adjusting and dealing with recruiting. A good friend of mine just took a personnel job. He's been in the NFL his whole life. Mike Williams just took a strong personnel job at Ole Miss. And he called after he took it and we were talking about things. I said, Mike, you know, the biggest problem, I mean, I had a lot of problems, but the biggest problem is the way it's set up in most college campuses now. I mean, recruiting is everything, right? I mean, everything is about recruiting. When the game is over, the head coach comes in, talks to the team, goes in and talks to media for 15 to 20 minutes, and then it's right upstairs to their office. In the lobby, you've got 10, 12 recruits and their family. You got to start recruiting right away. And unfortunately, with Nebraska, we lost a lot of games. And there's nothing worse. So you just got, it might have been a close game or you know, this thing's are. And now you got to go up and spend the next 3 hours talking to recruits.
After getting your heart ripped out of your chest.
Oh, my God, may have lost a last second field goal. And you got to, and when the head coach is in with the recruit, all the assistants and all of me, and now you can't let these kids sit by themselves or with their parents. Now you got to entertain them. You got to, like, that's the last thing you feel like.
Billy, throw on the other part. Now you have to kiss the ass of the ones who are there because you got to worry about them leaving on top of that.
On top of that. Like, yeah, you got to, that's my point. Now you got to go to Joey, the running back that only had 2 carries. And you got to say, listen, it was just one of those games. You gotta, we still love you. Absolutely. Now you got to stroke those guys on. That's my point. I could never, there's no way I could last in this.
So now maybe why defensive coordinators are former head coaches in college football. They're jumping to the NFL. You understand that because they've had their fill of it and they're washing their hands of it. A guy like Chip Kelly, I could just focus on calling plays
now. How about that?
I don't have to worry about anything else when it comes to NIL. Yeah.
I'm a ball coach. That's what I signed up for, but I'm not a recruiter. I think you're going to see it more and more. It was happening when I was there, and as much as anything, I could not get over the amount of time. There's no downtime for coaches. They may get 2 weeks in the summer. But
so give me a number. We asked, how many times more difficult is it to be a college coach than an NFL coach right now?
Oh, 1,000%
tougher. The number we use.
Absolutely. Was it really?
I'm not kidding. I said it's 1,000 times harder to be a college coach.
There is zero downtime. If you're not coaching the on-field stuff, you're not in your meetings, you're on your phone. To your point, it's not just now recruiting these high school kids. You're stroking the kids in your room, your own player. You're stroking the kids that you recruited a year ago that's unhappy at the other school.
There's one more. Now they're not boosters. They're partners because of NIL.
Absolutely.
Now you got that group that
you got to take care of. Absolutely. It is a mess. You're going to see more and more. The coach, like, I got into it to coach. I'm a ball coach. There's less and less of that going on.
It seems that way. Billy Devaney, GM, a long time in the NFL is what he did, talking some draft and then some with him for a few more minutes.
So we got to do the draft next.
Yes, we do.
Billy, I think, wants to maybe bump for some of these guys. That'll be interesting. And then we've got to set up a scenario. We've got to ask you a question.
A scenario to close out the conversation. Scenarios. And what a scenario it is. Want to remind folks as well, the inaugural Braves Golf Classic coming to the Atlanta Athletic Club Championship Course May the 6th. It all benefits the Atlanta Braves Foundation. 4-person scramble. The winning teams get prizes. Everybody, I think, walks away with a prize. In fact, breakfast, lunch, post-round awards. Braves legend's going to be there to get your foursome. Or for more information, go to braves.com/golf. Today, the scenario that Billy Devaney must answer when we come back. Cellini, Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Cellini, Domino, Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Billy Devaney, longtime NFL GM in studio with us. We'll paint that scenario that DeMino wants to present to Billy Devaney very, very shortly.
Man,
I also want to remind folks that he is, Billy. He's a very sly one. Introducing the 680 The Fan Girl, our brand new social media sports content tailored to the ladies. I guess a little less X's and O's and more lifestyle-driven sports content. The 680 The Fan Girl page is curated expressly for Matt Chernoff and our female sports fans. Become a 680 The Fan Girl today. And follow us on Instagram and TikTok.
How much different do you look at quarterbacks? Defensive tackle goes into the stands and cries on his mom's lap. Big defensive tackle as opposed to a quarterback. What am I supposed to make of a quarterback doing that?
As in Caleb Williams.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it bothers you. I mean, when you got a guy that paints his fingernails also. I mean, little things start to add. It by itself, maybe not be a big deal, but there's some other things like, hey, you know, come on. You got to go.
How much more talented does he have to be to have the balls?
Because I think he is,
well,
actually.
It'll come down to that. The guy, listen, it could be week six, and this guy's lighting it up in the NFL as a starter, and they're winning, and nobody's talking about Chicago. Exactly. It is Chicago. We're not talking about Los Angeles, San Francisco, it's Chicago.
Yeah.
But Jim McMahon was a strange bird as well, but they won.
But they won, and he was, I mean, as nuts as he was, he's a legitimate tough guy. Nobody ever questioned the guy's toughness. He went above and beyond. So it won't, I mean, he's going to hear about it. I mean, from the defenses and everything else, absolutely. He's going to, it'll be brought up. It's just one of these things he's got to work through. And if he's the guy, it won't be a factor. If he's not, he'll have to deal with it.
All right, so Billy's going to stick around for another segment, so we'll save the scenario for the top of the hour. But what about the draft?
The scenario?
Next?
This is killing me.
It is the scenario.
Wow. Well, do you ever realize there are some reasons why you're not in charge of certain things? Because you'd be overreactionary. I know that's me. The Braves went on an 0-9 road trip, and I said I'd be at the front of the plane. It was Freddie Gonzalez. And I'd be handing them all bills for the 9 days. You're paying for your own hotel. I want my per diem money back. That's overreactionary. I want to ask you about something to see if it is. Why do you mention Kuiper and some of these other guys, Schefter and everybody else?
Yeah.
First of all, did you hear Mel Kuiper supposedly doesn't have a cell phone? Did you
really?
Hear that?
He's got five landlines.
Interesting.
Is it interesting?
I mean, it's Mel. I mean, it's a little bit out there.
So he's got to go home, and his wife's got to tell him that somebody called with some inside scoop that now might be 2 days
old. That's amazing. That is amazing. Because the few years that I was at ESPN, Adam was part of the show. I hope this is where you're kind of going. Yeah. Early on, I would get pissed off at those guys. Like Mel, like, what does Mel know? But I was around Kuiper also way back when Mike was coming out. And I saw how passionate the guy was and how much time and energy he puts into it, I really wound up having a lot of respect for Mel. And then seeing that, being around and being a co-worker with a guy like Schefter and Mort, God rest his soul, those guys work their butt off.
Okay.
So if you keep it in perspective, and, okay, it's a job for that.
Would you have somebody on your staff looking at local, back then, newspaper people who maybe had a little bit of scoop? I'm not telling you they're dictating what your board is going to be, but are there certain guys in certain cities that you go, wait, if he's putting out that they're looking in this direction, there's a good chance that they are.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, you have to, and way back in the day, I'm dating myself. Remember Joel Buschbaum?
Mm-hmm.
Joel was the man. And Adam and Mel and all these guys.
Dr.
Z was good. He was a Sports Illustrated guy. Joel was really wired into the league, and he was extremely helpful. Now, you had to give Joel some stuff. He may call you and say, hey, just to give you a heads up, there's a kid down at West Texas, a corner, that is running verified times in the 4.3s. You may want to have somebody take a look at him. Okay. Hey, now, when you guys were at Prairie View, did you get a verified 40 on so-and-so? Yeah, Joel, here it is. So there was a give and take.
Yeah.
Buschbaum was tremendous. And Adam and these guys all defer to him. He was the guy that really started this draft stuff. At the end of the day, to be honest, it makes for good bathroom reading as you get closer
to
the
draft. And it gives us content to a certain extent as well.
And do you take it to heart? Of course not.
They might move up, but they're thinking about moving back. or maybe they stay pat. That's the crap that's driving me. I just need the draft to get here, Billy.
The one thing that I don't like this draft is going to be over, you know, a week from now, and Mel's going to have the first round
for
next year. And it's happened before. Guys, it'll happen this year. Guys that were projected early to go, you wind up drafting them in the third or fourth round. They come into the say Rattler.
Yeah. Okay.
Rattler gets drafted maybe in the fourth. He'll go high, but say he gets drafted in the fourth. He comes into the building pissed off. Like, dude, don't be pissed off at us. We drafted you.
Right.
But he had his mind, his agents, all these other people, these other guys say, oh, this guy won't make it to here. Now he comes in with a crappy attitude right away. So that the projection of the rounds, it always kind of gets me.
I think there are 50 guys that are going to go in the first round.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, there's 50 of them.
All right. The scenario that we will present between Domino to Billy Devaney
now,
when we come
back. Be honest, you found out about this during the break.
I did.
And what were you as overreactionary as me?
Of course, yeah.
Of course you were. All right, we'll see what Billy says.
I said initially, fly back. This person's walking back.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's what they're doing.
All right, we'll see.
Thumb out. And you're hitchhiking. Anyway, the scenario will make sense when we come back. Billy Devaney in studio with us for one more segment. It's Chiellini and Domino. It's The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.